Well, let me bid you welcome this morning to our morning service here online from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. My name is Glenn Wilkinson, and it's good to be along with you this morning and to share in God's Word. And God willing, we'll be back again this evening, the service as well there, and I pray you'll tune in there as we preach even on the resurrection theme this evening. We bid you welcome those who are tuning in online. You're very welcome indeed. Those maybe who are visiting or normally associated with the church, we give you a special word of welcome, and we pray the Lord to bless us as we meet around his word. We'll ask you to turn, please, to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Read some verses together here. We'll commence our reading at the verse 33. Mark chapter 4 and the verse 33. And of many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But about a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. And we trust the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his divinely inspired word. Let's seek the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon the word this morning. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thy throne of heavenly grace. We approach thee in our Saviour's wonderful name. Oh Lord, we do rejoice this morning in this resurrection morning that our Saviour is risen, that he's no longer in the tomb, he's no longer in the grave, but he's risen and he's seated at the Father's right hand in glory, ever living to make intercession for his people. And that gives us confidence this morning, O God, as we come before thy throne of grace, that our Saviour is praying for us and with us even at this very moment. And Lord, we rejoice in his finished work. We thank you, Lord, that everything necessary to save our never-dying soul was accomplished on Calvary. We thank you there's nothing left for the sinner to do but to turn from their sin and to trust in Christ. And Father, this morning, even as we would meet around thy precious word, we ask, O God, that thou'll have a word in season for our hearts this morning. We realise that we're living in a time where there's much uncertainty. There's even chaos and panic in the world. And Father, we're not unconcerned, so to speak, about that. We realise there is much concern and we must take many precautions. But Father, we thank you that thou art in control. Thou art the God who is sovereign. And Lord, we thank you this morning we can place all into thy hands. And Lord, even now we ask for thy blessing upon thy word, that it'll bring comfort to even some soul this morning who is tuning in to the service. Maybe someone who is downcast. Maybe someone who has many burdens and many cares and have many worries this morning. We ask, O God, you'll draw near. You'll speak to the hearts. You'll comfort them. And Father, we do thank you for the means we have to broadcast. We thank you for the technology that has been afforded to us. We ask, O God, as the word will go forth, that I'll be pleased to use it for thine honour and for thy glory alone. Remember our own denomination especially. We ask you'll help and draw near to the men who would be live streaming this morning and preaching the word online. And we ask for help, Lord. And we pray even that many will tune in and many will hear words whereby they may be saved. So Father, bless us this morning. Remember the folk from Londonderry who are tuning in. We ask for thy blessing upon them. Think of those who may be ill at this time, those who need a touch from thee, those who are maybe have bad health and maybe are infirmed at this time. We ask, O God, you'll bless them, Lord, and undertake for them, even at this time. I think of those maybe in isolation who are feeling lonely and feeling shut off from everyone else. Lord, draw near. We thank you, thou art the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Lord, thou art the one who knows all about us this morning. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered. So, Father, draw near and comfort and do our souls good. But Father, bless us now. Give help, Lord, now in the preaching of thy precious word. And we'll be careful to give all the honour and all the praise and all the glory to Christ Jesus alone, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. We turn back, please, to that portion we read together in Mark's Gospel and the chapter 4. Our text this morning specifically is the verse 40, although we'll be dealing with the whole passage we read together. But verse 40 reads, "And the Master, he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And yes, we live in a time when many people are fearful for many different reasons. And we pray even this morning that God's word will bring comfort to our souls. It is just like any other day as Billy Tyne Jr. and his fellow crewmen headed out to sea on the 20th of September 1991. Their destination was the Grand Banks of Newfoundland, the target a vessel full of fish. As they set sail that day in their 72-foot fishing vessel, those men did not know what lay ahead of them. Unsuccessful at Grand Banks, they headed for the Flemish Cap, and there they fared much better, and with a bumper catch of fish, they headed for home on the 26th of October. Weather reports reached them of an impending storm, but with a faulty ice machine on board their fishing vessel and with the thought of losing such a great haul of fish, Captain Billy Tyne Jr. decided to head for home. As the winds prevailed and the storm grew bigger and stronger, his last recorded words were, "She's coming on, boys, and she's coming on strong." He had just sailed into what became known as the perfect storm. Despite countless hours of searching, the bodies and the vessel was never found. The storm had overcome them, despite their very best efforts. As we read this passage here in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 4, we find a crew in a similar situation. These men did not know what lay ahead of them that day as they headed out in the Sea of Galilee. They did not know they would certainly stare death in the face before they reached the other side. It had been a busy day for the Lord Jesus Christ, one in which he spoke many parables to a large crowd of people gathered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Saviour had been moving in that area, teaching in the villages and the towns of Galilee. And on this particular day, he spent the whole day in that area on the edge of the sea. You turn back there to chapter 4 and the verse 1 we read, "And he," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "began again to teach by the seaside," that's the Sea of Galilee. "And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables." This crowd was so massive that they pressed the Saviour all the way to the water's edge. And the only way that he could teach them the things he wanted to teach them and to have the space and to say what he wanted to say was to get into a boat and to move off the shore a little bit into the waters there in the Sea of Galilee. Now, after such a busy day of teaching and preaching, we might assume the Lord asked his disciples here to take him to the other side, to have a rest, to get away from the crowd, to get some respite, so to speak. There were many occasions in the scriptures when our Master did this. But when you read the opening verses of chapter 5, you find that he had another reason to go to the other side. There in verse 2 of chapter 5 you read, "And when he has come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man of an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." Here is a man who was caught with an evil spirit, bound in chains. No one could bind him. He is racked and ruined by this evil spirit. Here the Master went on to heal this man, delivered him from his bondage and set him free. But this is not the only reason for the Saviour's trip across Galilee this day. After a day of much teaching and instruction, the Master had one more important lesson to teach. And this lesson was for his disciples. And that's what we want to consider this morning want to consider lessons learned from the storm. Lessons learned from the storm. These men were so fearful, they thought they were going to die. But why were they so fearful? That's the first thing I want to notice. The reason for their fear. These disciples thought they had great faith. They'd expressed so on many, many occasions. Peter being the prime example. Later on he would boast and say that he would go to prison. He'd even die for the Master if he had called upon to do so. But when the time came of proving that his walk matched his talk, well, he failed. Denied the Lord before a little maid. You know how often we think we have great faith. That is until it is severely tested. We often boast about what we'll do for the Lord. We'll do this for the Master. We'll do that for the Master. But when that time of testing comes, well, things are different. We're often found wanting. And these disciples' faith was about to be tried and tested more than it ever had been before. And faith that can't stand testing is no faith at all. All was well as they set out across the sea or across the lake that day, a lake that sailed upon countless times before. This was not an unknown journey to these men. In Luke's account, we read that they were sailing along, so there must have been a nice, gentle breeze, perfect for being out in the boat. And if we can imagine that very idyllic scene, as they sat out in the boat, lovely, calm waters, the sun in the sky, not a cloud to be seen, perfect for sailing. And all was going along well. And then suddenly, out of nowhere like that, the storm breaks out upon them. It is merely the calm before the storm. And you know, folk, how often in life we can face similar circumstances. All seems to be going well. Sun's out, sky's clear. We have health, we have money, we have all those things that we need. And then without warning, the storm breaks out upon us. Notice here in verse 37, the severity of the storm they faced. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for such storms. Commentator Plummer describes the storms of wind that rush wildly through the deep mountain gorges, which descend from the north and northeast, which are not only violent but sudden, and they often take place when the weather is clear. This was like a whirlwind. This is not a simple storm. It was a great storm, like a whirlwind. And these men were not novices. At least four of these men had been fishermen from their youth. They'd known the sea, they'd faced storms, even from their young boys. They knew nothing else but fishing and sailing. This was their natural environment. And even these most seasoned seamen were frantic as they thought they were about to perish. They were about to perish in this great storm. This was a serious test of these men's faith. You know, there are times in our life, folk, when we'll face that serious test. When, as it were, our backs will be against the wall. We'll have nowhere else to turn. And sometimes the Lord tests us more than we're ever used to. He takes us out of our comfort zone and tests our faith. The storm tested these disciples' faith, and left so little at the Master asked them this question: why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, we have no more faith at any time than in the hour of our deepest trial. Notice also the service these men were employed in during this storm. It'd be fair to say that these disciples were carrying out the Lord's instructions and were doing the Lord's will. You could say these men were in the centre of God's will. He had asked them to do something, and they had obeyed it to the letter. They were in the centre of his will. And now these men are fearful because they're questioning the Master. We have obeyed the Master. We're doing what he told us to do. And yet we find ourselves cast into this storm. They're perplexed. They're fearful. They don't understand why this has befallen them. It would have been so much different if they had been running away from the Lord. Running away from the Lord's commands. If they had have disobeyed the Lord's commands, they would have expected the discipline and blow of the Lord's hand to fall upon them. We think of Jonah as being the prime example. And yet Jonah slept during his storm, his conscience unmoved by the fact that he was disobedient. Yet we know the Lord dealt with Jonah in the end. But how often we become perplexed at times, dear believer, when We see others who profess to be Christians and they're not living for the Lord as they ought to be living. Yet and all, they seem to be prospering in the world, they seem to be healthy, and nothing ever seems to befall them. And yet though, the more we do for the Master, the more we seek to live for the Master and to strive to do what He's commanded us to do, the more we seem to face the trials and the great difficulties of life. We can often become perplexed. We can often ask, why, Lord? Why is this happening to us? The more I labour to do right, the more severe my trial is. But you know, often we're called upon to swim against the tide in this life. The Lord has never promised us an easy life. Spurgeon said, there are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers on earth. We'll face great trials and great difficulties. And these men are no different. And this caused them to fear as well. Another reason for their fear was the sleeping Saviour. The sleeping Saviour. Now, they know the Lord is with them in the boat, but He was asleep on a cushion. He had fallen asleep as soon as it set sail. We read that in Luke's account, in Luke 8 and verse 23. And here we see a wonderful picture of the Lord's humanity. One who is truly exhausted from the day's events. He is truly man. Truly man, yet truly God. You read in the scriptures of His humanity, how that He was hungry and how He was thirsty and how He wept and how He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Truly human, yet truly God. One commentator describes this view of the great God-man. He said, He is the very one who created the water. He is the very one who created the sky. He created the wood the boat was made of. He even created sleep. And now He employs all these things for His own benefit. And He goes to sleep in the boat. A wonderful picture of the God-man. You see, He had to be both God and man to be our representative and to die in our behalf. You hear the disciples thought that the Master did not care about them. Here the disciples thought that He had fallen asleep and He was lying there and He didn't care what happened to them. And this increased their fear. And therefore they cry out in Master, in verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, nothing could have been further from the truth. Just because the Lord was asleep did not mean He was not in control of the situation. And here, these disciples were attempting to get out of trouble, but they were feeling miserably. The waves were crashing in around them. The boat was full of water. They were losing the battle. They felt isolated. They felt alone. And maybe this morning, dear believer, you feel isolated. Maybe you're shut off this morning. Maybe because of this virus, you are alone this morning. You're shut away in your room and you're facing a storm in your life. Maybe you're starting to doubt God's care for you. Maybe the devil has brought these thoughts in around you. Why would God allow such a thing? Why would God allow this? And I'm shut away from my family, my friends, and even from my church this morning. I'm shut off. I'm alone. These men here, they were alone. They were isolated. They were overwhelmed by their circumstances. And they looked around at each other and they saw that every other man was in the same dire situation. It all looked hopeless. And the only one who could help them, the one person that could help them, was asleep and seemed unconcerned. And again, maybe you're feeling like that this morning. Maybe you are facing a great battle this morning and the waves are crashing in around you. Maybe you have some illness. Maybe you have financial worries. Maybe family problems. Maybe a wayward child. And this morning you just don't know how you're going to keep on battling on. You're struggling. You're battling away, but the waves are crashing in around you this morning. You feel like you're just about able to keep afloat, but you don't know how much longer you can keep treading water. You look around you and you see others, and they have their own problems. They have their own financial problems and family problems and illnesses and all the rest, and you feel helpless. Dear believer this morning, I urge you to cry out to the Master. Cry out to the Saviour this morning. You see, the wonderful thought is here, the storm did not awake the Saviour. But the cry of the disciples did. You know, Peter would later write in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Imagine this storm. Those lightnings, those thunder, a great wind, a great whirlwind, all these things, and the Master slept through it all. But oh, as soon as his child cries, as soon as he hears the disciples cry out to him, he answers. He answers. What comfort that brings to our souls this morning, dear believer. What comfort that brings to the child of God. The Master hears our cry. You see, the Lord was at peace here because he was in control. He was in the driving seat, so to speak. You know, the problem in life is so often we want to grab the steering wheel away from him and grab control and steer our own way through the problems. But rather the Master might want to bring us through it his way. What we really need to do is put our life into autopilot, so to speak, and hand all over to him and say, "Here, Lord, you bring me through it your way. You guide me, you lead me, you direct me. I lay all into your hands." Well, dear believer, remember this morning, the Lord is not sleeping in regards to your life. He knows all that is going on this morning. He knows everything about you this morning. He cares for you this morning. Just hand all your fears and cares into his hand. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, how lofty doth our faith appear to be until it is severely exercised. Faith is strong when all is going well in life. May we be like the hymn writer Horatio Spafford, who could say, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." He could write that after losing his business, his home, and his children in a great boating accident. And yet he had comfort to know the Lord was sovereign. The Lord was in control of his life. The reason for their fear. Notice, secondly, from our passage, the reaction to their fear. The reaction to their fear. How does the Lord respond here to these disciples' fear? Does he condemn them? Does he give them a dressing down? No, but rather here we see how the Lord tenderly reproves them. He tenderly reproves them. There's pity here with the Master. He uses those fatherly tones that we read off in Psalm 103. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Those who are fathers among us know what it's like when a child awakes, maybe at night, out of a nightmare. And when a child is fearful, that brings the emotion of love from a father. When a child wakes up in the middle of the night after having a nightmare or something, you don't go into the bedroom and you don't scold them and say, "Get back to sleep." But you come in, you say, "What's wrong, my child? Why are you so fearful?" And here the Lord looks upon these men and he asks them, as one who has the heart of a father, "Why are you so fearful, my children?" You see, the Lord does not cast them off here as failures, as many would have done, maybe as we would have done. J.C. Ryle, writing upon this passage, writes these wonderful words. He said, "The Lord sees their weakness. He is aware of their shortcomings. He knows all the defects of their faith and hope and love and courage. He loves them even to the end. He raises them when they fall. He restores them when they err. His patience, like his love, is a patience that passeth knowledge." Oh, how we could write ourselves into that list, could we not, dear believer? How often he's aware of my shortcomings. He knows all the defects of my faith, my hope, my love, my courage. He loves me even to the end. He raises me when I fall. He restores me when I err. Oh, how often we've been weak, we've erred, we've fallen. And yet the mercies of God are new every morning. Oh, how we can testify to that even this morning. Here the Lord pitied these men because their fear made them so unlike him. You see, we are to be Christ-like. That is why we're saved, to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're not merely saved just to have a ticket to avoid hell, but we're saved to be like Christ. And even in the deepest trial, we are to be like our Saviour. That's not always easy. It's difficult. You know, we often pray for things when we are facing trials and tribulations and illnesses and all the rest, but do we ever pray, Lord, help me to be more like you through this trial? May this trial be used to make me more like my Saviour. We pray for many things, but we do pray for that. And these men here, this trial made them so un-Christ-like. You see, these fishermen were normally tough individuals. Fishermen normally are. You go down to the fishing communities of Kilkeel or Port of Ogie or Killybegs or some of these places, and you find hard men, hands calloused of the water, big strong men from hauling in nets, not men you'd associate with fear. Strong men. But these men were afraid. And their fear led them to question the Lord's care for them. They accused the Master of not caring for them. Oh, how often when we're filled with fear, we say things we ought not to. How often we call the Lord's care for us into doubt when we're fearful. But yet the Lord is gracious to these men, and we can learn so much from him. Their unbelief was grievous to him, and yet he's tender with them. These men ought to have believed him, but their belief was an injury to his perfect love. How did they think that he would let them sink and drown? How did he think that they think that they'd let them perish in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? But are we any better at times? Are we any better? How often our fears are like us thinking we're about to sink. As individuals, even as a church, as a denomination, we say times have never been this barren. Things have never been this bad. The winds have never been this strong. Oh, we call the Master's care into question for us. We think we're going to sink, whether it's financially or physically or emotionally or even spiritually. How often do we pray, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Maybe not in so many words, but often in our unbelief. Notice also the Lord's telling reminder to them here. He answers his first question with his second. Why are you so faithful? Why are you so fearful? Well, it's because you have no faith. Their faithlessness led to their fearfulness. And lack of faith is the ground of all fear. Now, during the 1800s, there was a world-famous acrobat from France called Blondin. He went around the world doing these great feats, and once in London he played the violin on a tightrope 170 feet off the ground. But his greatest feat was crossing the Niagara Falls on rope 1,100 feet long and 160 feet above the water. And he carried a man on his back from one side across to the other. And as you can imagine, was a great crowd of people had assembled to watch this great feat. And as he carried that man across on his back and set him down on the other side, he turned to the crowd of people there and he asked one man who was watching, he said, "Sir, do you believe I could do that with you? That I could carry you across my back just like I've done of this man?" The man says, "Of course I believe it. I've just seen you do it." Well, Blondin says, "Hop on and I'll carry you across." And the man, "Oh, no, 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 no." The man says, "No, no, not in your life, not in your life." You see, fear took a grip of this man. Fear gripped him, and his faith failed, just like the disciples in the storm. I want you to notice, finally, the remedy for their faithlessness. The remedy for their faithlessness. This is the most vital part of the message this morning. You know, you could say, "Preacher, yes, that's wonderful what you've said. I know that I should not be fearful. I know that I should have great faith. And I know that. The scriptures teach that. I know I should trust the Saviour. And I should know that he'd not leave me and all the rest. I know all those things. But how do I apply it to my life, preacher? As I face the world tomorrow, how do I apply all these things to my life? How do I overcome this faithfulness?" Well, the answer was right in front of these disciples, and the answer is right in front of us as well this morning, dear child of God. The answer is Christ. Christ is the answer to all our fears, to all our unbelief. We must look to him. We must look to the Master. If you remember nothing else, remember these four things that I want to finish with. First of all, the first remedy is we must look to the person of Christ. We look to the person of Christ. Why did these men have no faith? Was it a lack of knowledge? Well, it certainly should not have been. They'd spent more time with the Lord Jesus than anyone else had. They'd listened to him. They'd listened to him preach. They'd listened to him expound the scriptures to them. We read that together in verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. What privilege. What privilege these men had. The Master expounded all things to him. You can even picture that as they sat around his feet, as he taught them the word and expounded and explained. It certainly should not have been a lack of knowledge. But you know, sometimes we don't know the Master the way we think we know him and the way we ought to know him. We like to think we have that perfect knowledge, but if we really knew him as we ought to know him, it would go a long way to get rid of our fears. You think of the Apostle Paul. Paul is one of those men that we hold up here in esteem. The great Apostle Paul, that great man. I'm sure each and every one of us this morning would look at Paul and say we could never attain to Paul's level of spirituality. And yet, what was Paul's desire? What was the great Apostle Paul's desire in his life? Well, in Philippians 3 and 10, he said that he would know him. That he would know Christ. That was Paul's desire. And if that was Paul's desire, how much more should that be our desire this morning? We need to know Christ, and we don't get to know him without spending time with him in his precious word. And in the closet and in the place of prayer, we fill our minds with the word of God and fill our minds with communion and fellowship of God and fill our time with Christ and not the things of the world. It'll go a long way to getting rid of our fears. We must be like him. We must die to self. We have to humble ourselves and to be like Christ. Fill our minds, fill our lives with Christ, the person of Christ. Secondly, we must also look to the promises of Christ. The disciples' fear here was contrary to their own belief. You see, these men had left all. These men had left their family, had left their homes, had left their occupation, had left their friends, had left everything that they knew to follow the Master. He had given them a mission to accomplish. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He hadn't called them to now let them drown in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. In verse 35, he asked them to take him to the other side. He didn't say, let us go into the middle of the sea and drown. You see, his word is his bond. He's the God who cannot lie, the God who cannot break his word. His promises are yea and amen. And when these men set out, they were as sure of the other side as if they were already there. O child of God, maybe you lack assurance of salvation this morning. Maybe you think the Lord will let you go halfway along the journey. Remember this morning that he's the author and finisher of your faith. You do not keep yourself this morning, but he keeps you. He keeps you in his wonderful hand. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, you're safe this morning. Claim unto his promise this morning. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Notice thirdly that the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ. The Lord is with them in the boat here. You all know the wee chorus with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the storm. And praise God, Christ was with these men in the vessel. He hadn't sent them off on their own in the midst of the storm. And as we read through the scriptures, we find many more individuals who faced great storms, great trials, and they didn't face them on their own. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was cast into the den of lions, and the people thought he was alone, but the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Elijah didn't do battle with the prophets of Baal alone. Eliezer didn't lift up a sword against the Philistines and slay them on his own. Praise God, we're never left alone. Oh, that doesn't mean there'll be no problems in life. But rather, the Lord tells us, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know we are assured of his presence? Then finally, we have to look to the power of Christ. The power of Christ. These men already had so many proofs of his Godhead and power. They'd witnessed him doing so many miracles. He healed the sick and cast out demons and all these things. And now, again, they're confronted with his power and authority over nature itself as he cries out, peace, be still. They'd seen so much. They'd witnessed surely enough to save them from having such fears and having such little faith. But yet again, are there not times in our life's experience when we fail the Lord in such regards? How many times have we doubted the Lord's power despite the many times in our life that he's answered prayer to overcome the seemingly impossible? We think of our own salvation. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that we're dead in trespasses and sins, and yet the Lord has raised us to newness of life. The power of God and salvation. Oh, our fears and lack of faith often springs so often from a low view of God. Let's not have a low view of God. If we just remember Christ and his glory and power, then we would not have these fears. Maybe these disciples' minds were so filled with earthly things and maybe even things of service that they took their eyes off the Master. And we can become so busy, and even busy in the Lord's work, busy in service for the Lord, and we take our eyes off Christ and we begin to fear. Well, let us learn from these disciples and not repeat their error. This was a learning curve for them, and they continued to learn this throughout their lives. They were still learning that lesson in Luke 17 and 5 when they cried unto the Master again, Lord, increase our faith. May that be our prayer even this day. Lord, increase my faith. You know, we're not promised an easy road to glory, but we are promised that the Lord's grace will be sufficient for every trial we face. Praise God, since he be for us, who can be against us? Let us look to Christ this morning, dear believer, dispel all our fears. After all, he is the author and finisher of our faith, and he'll bring us safely to our heavenly shore. And I wonder, in closing, can everyone who's tuning in this morning, can they say they're resting upon the promises of Christ? They're resting upon the person of Christ? They're resting upon the presence of Christ? Can they say they have been born again by the power of Christ this morning? Well, if you're not trusting in Christ, if you're trusting in self this morning, or your religion, your good works, they will fail you. They will fail you. And you will be cast off. You will never reach your heavenly home. But praise God this morning, when you trust in Christ, with Christ the Lord of your life, you can be assured of your heavenly home. The Lord bless us this morning and write his word upon our hearts and encourage us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's just close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank you for thy word. We thank you for the challenge of it, Lord, the comfort it even brings to our souls this morning, even in the midst of our current climate. Lord, there's many who are facing trials and facing fears, and we pray, O God, even the word this morning will bring comfort to their souls. Help them to remember that they're not alone. O Lord, if there be those who are tuning in who are still outside of Christ, Lord, realize that without Christ they have no hope today. They have nothing to trust in, even in the midst of this difficult time. So, Father, we pray this morning they will be directed to the one who can save their never-dying soul. O Father, write thy word upon our hearts. We pray for this evening's service, Lord, as we consider the resurrection account, Lord. You'd be pleased to bring others to tune into the service, Lord, and even bring the unsaved in as well, Lord, and pray to speak to their hearts as we think upon our lovely Saviour once again. So, Father, bless us now. Keep thy hand upon us for good. We ask and pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.